Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and BaltimorePositive.com. Still broadcasting in high definition mono sound at AM 1570 on your radio dial. Make sure you're, if you're out at Coons Baltimore Ford buying a car, first thing you do, Dennis, when they drive off the lot is what? Set number one to AM
Set
1570.
number
That's
one,
what you need to do.
1570 AM. Absolutely. That's the first thing everybody does around here.
Dennis Kolatsos is here. On Thursday, we're going to be celebrating 31 years on the radio. Tuesday is my 31st anniversary. It's December 13th, and I walked into WITH AM 1570 down at Five Light Street with Kenny Albert. On Thursday, we're going to be celebrating 31 years with Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Gina Schock from the Go-Go's, as well as a whole bunch of rock and roll friends, old Hammerjacks friends, old bands like Milkshake and Beyond Words and friends of ours. I'll be giving away some Raven scratch-offs, as well as the new holiday cash drop scratch-offs that Roz dropped off at Fadley's on Friday. Had an unbelievable conversation with Dan Rodericks. It's been a very momentous week, Dennis. I was a real media member on Sunday in Pittsburgh. I had a pass. They gave me parking. I ate Mr. Rooney's cookies with Charlie Batch and Rod Woodson. I ate Mr. Rooney's cookies with a Hall of Famer with a Ravens Super Bowl ring and not a Steelers ring. I had an interesting experience after 27 years of doing this, and they take away my license to practice, and then all of a sudden, I'm in the press box there because of Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin's the only reason I was at the game on Sunday. I found it interesting that Harbaugh came in and welcomed me into a room that he's been a tremendous part of banning me from and lying about it, which is even worse. So Harbaugh, I did not ask John a question. I didn't. The questions I had already been asked. The biggest question in the post game, and I know you can appreciate this, is whether Tyler Huntley can play on Saturday. Because of the short week and the head trauma. And that was more of our question is, you have to play with a third-string quarterback for four quarters against Cleveland? Although the kid looked poised.
He looked okay.
I mean, he really did. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get – I think it's a fruitless question. I know that someone had to ask it, but you're not going to get any real clarity on anyone's injury, particularly right after the game. Last year we heard – Coach Harbaugh say that Lamar Jackson was week to week with the ankle, right? So he never played again. So I don't know how much confidence I have in what comes out of the Ravens machine there in terms of player health and whatnot. But hey, I want to hear about your. I saw you tweeting at the game. I saw your pictures. You're in the press box. You're eating the cookies. It's really odd that you're welcome at a opposing team's stadium, particularly the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you can't even attend a game as a journalist that you are. At M&T Bank Stadium.
I went up with Luke. We met in Breezewood, jumped in the car. Now, the interesting thing is I knew I was getting in because I had been on the phone with the Steelers PR people. And the Steelers PR man, the lead guy, I want to give a little love to him. His daughter was involved in a really, really horrific hit and run a week and a half ago. She's in a coma, fighting for her life. This is the Kevin Byrne or the Chad
Right.
Steele of the Steelers. The vice president, his name is Bert Lawton. He's a wonderful human being. He was not at the game on Sunday. You know, all of us lumping our throat. It's hard for me to talk about it because I know Bert well. But his team took care of me, and they reached me on Thursday and Friday and said, Coach wants you in the press box. Coach wants you doing your job. You know, do you need a parking pass? I'm like, nah, Luke already has a parking pass. So we park right by the Taco Bell, right up the hill with Yinz and Nut. Up Allegheny Avenue by the confluence and the new name, all the ketchup bottles are gone and the mustard bottles are gone, you know? So the interesting part for me is, and this is a human issue, right? When the Orioles did what they did to me in 06, every Oriole person I knew, longtime front office people, they all unfriended me on Facebook. They all unlinked me in. None of them are allowed to know me in the Angelos family. Like literally anything good that they would ever say about me would get them fired, right? Or get them in trouble. Or their perception is they cannot afford to be even remotely aligned in any way with me. Ravens, I've been at this 26 years. I know everyone there was one dude with Eric DaCosta that I didn't recognize. I had to look at his badge and say, who's that guy? And I thought I can look his picture up on the website or whatever. I didn't know who he was. I still don't know who he is. But there were 20, 25 non-uniform personnel that worked for the Ravens and with the Ravens, not one of them looked at me. Not one of them came up and said, how are you? How's your wife? What the team's doing's wrong? Or like even out of the side of their, like,
and these are
every
people, you
person
know,
that worked for the team refused to look at me or speak to me.
These are people you know. You've spoken to before.
Oh, my God. These are people that
understood.
I've gone to football games with for 20, 25 years. I mean, I'm lying. Let me say this because I would be remiss in saying this. I pee a lot during the game, and I got a bad back, and I move around during timeouts. I like to stand up, move around. I went back to the bathroom in, like, the third quarter maybe at the end of the third quarter, and I went back to pee, and Ozzie Newsome and I were the only two people in the bathroom, and Ozzie said, hi, Nestor. Hmm. So I am wrong. I said that earlier that nobody said hello. I had to think about it. Ozzie Newsome said hello to me. He acknowledged that I exist and my name and who I am. No one else in the entire franchise. And when we parked the car and we're walking down by the Taco Bell down Allegheny Avenue, it's two blocks, and there's always fans everywhere in those jailbird goofy outfits they have and all that. And I thought of Stedman for a minute, but what I really thought was David Modell. I thought, what would David Modell make of the Pittsburgh Steelers welcoming me into their stadium and I can't be welcome in the facility of a team that I've supported for three decades? Like, it none of it makes any sense. It's juvenile. It's immature. It's all of the above. I went and did my job. I wasn't there to create a storm. I could have asked John, hey, what's it like to ban a guy's press? I mean, I could have done anything to make a fool of myself and have you leave your sponsorship with me and everybody abandon me. I just did my job, man. I just did my job like I always do. But it shouldn't be this hard to do my job. I mean, I'll just say that straight out. And I've had a lot of people in the legal community tell me that it should not be this hard to do what I have done for a living, that they're taking that away from me. I spent a day in that. But that being said, I wrote my column. They won a game. They won with a third-string quarterback. It was a great game to be a part of. I mean, Luke and I were up watching the game, and we talked about it on the way home. We're like, it was an exciting football game for what it was, given the stakes with the Ravens and given the history of the rival.
No, I read your column with great interest, Nestor. One thing I picked up early in your column was you mentioned the empty seats. On television, it looked like the lower bowl was completely sold out. Everybody was, elbow to elbow, and the upper deck was about three-quarters full. And the club level, as usual with many stadiums, half empty. I guess half those fans are inside drinking and watching the game on TV. But how many empty seats were there?
The Nets crowd is 66,000. I would say there were 6,000 to 8,000 empty seats most of the day. I mean, 10%, 15%. I mean, they're so yellow. The seats are so yellow. They're so bright. You know, I would say this, Dennis, that's not unusual to Pittsburgh. Even in the years that they're good, they have more no-show empty seat. It's never a tough ticket. I did go online at 12:30 to see what it cost. Here, the tickets have been $10-$15 to get in. They were $30 there to get in at 12:30. If you, I thought of you, actually. I thought, well, if Dennis and some buddies drove up here, they could get in for $30. It was a $30 kind of ticket to get in, and there were a significant amount of the empty seats. Really, was the end of the game. People left early. Like, it was a six-point game. They left.
Same thing at the M&T Bank the week before. And so two of my guys that I work with, they actually drove up Saturday night and stayed there. They were at the game. They sat in the first row right behind the Ravens' bench, and they just came in today just gushing, you know, about what they saw. They loved the atmosphere, and they could hear the players talking and dropping F-bombs, and they were amazed how animated Ronnie Stanley was, for instance. But I got good feedback from my guys.
Well, the Ravens players were dancing to Renegade.
Yes.
And then went out and went 99 yards. So it was a monumental effort for what it was. And and to speak to the team, and I'll talk to you more on Thursday. Dennis Colazzo's here, Coons, Baltimore, Ford. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5 getting you ready for the game. And then Sunday, we play on Saturday. He'll be back on Sunday morning. I would say for me with the game itself, very memorable. I mean, just having a third-string quarterback come in. Trubisky, He will break your heart, won't he? I mean, he does everything. He runs, he throws, he recognizes defense. And then Queen made a great play, but he threw passes that you cannot throw in this league if you want to be a winning football, you want to be a winning quarterback. I mean, but he has all the skill set. And really, he was the best quarterback in the stadium on Sunday, not named Lamar, right?
He was, but he reminded me of Kyle Bowler at times, right? The big arm, but just threw the ball at the wrong place at the wrong time. So that's what I saw out of Trubisky. In fact, when Pickett went out, I tweeted out, I'd rather see Pickett, I think, than Trubisky, because Trubisky is a veteran, accomplished NFL quarterback, where Pickett, he still has some things to learn. He looked like he was out of his element. He looked a bit shell-shocked, and I thought the Ravens would pick him off a couple of times, but then again, they were all over Trubisky in the red zone. I thought the Ravens would win if they would limit their turnovers and run the ball effectively. And it did just that, and they still almost lost.
Well, running effectively, let's talk about that, because after I left the press conference with Harbaugh and Roquan Smith came on, and I'm like, I'm going in the locker room to talk to some other guys, because I even had to say to Sandusky as I walked out, I'm like, the locker room open? I haven't been in a locker room in 3 years. Like literally since before the plague, because they shut the locker room and then they threw people like me out. I went in the locker room and I talked to five or six players. And I introduced myself to Calais Campbell. He's like, I know who you are. I did your show at the Super Bowl 10 years ago. And I'm like,
nice.
Thanks,
what
dude.
What a great guy Calais Campbell is, right? And they don't win without him blocking that field goal yesterday too. Let's not overlook that fact.
But running the football, I was in there with Ronnie Stanley, and obviously seeing J.K. Dobbins even admit that he got caught in a way that he never would. He looked gimpy. It's crazy that he ran 60 yards as gimpy.
He was never a burner. He's the kind of guy that can rip off 30, 40, 50-yard runs, but he was never a true burner. So I don't know, even at 100%, I don't know if he would have still got to the end zone. But never mind that. He looked very, very good, though. The touchdown run was excellent with that second effort he made.
Well, and having Gus Edwards back, having him back, but Ronnie Stanley, just a difference maker, and getting guys healthier. So all the guys I went to in the locker room, right? Linderbaum, Kyle Hamilton, Ronnie Stanley, all of these guys have missed. Had I been in the locker room every week, they wouldn't have been there a lot of the weeks, right? Like the notion that they are getting healthier. Now, Lamar is question mark with a giant red question mark for them for whether he's week to week, as Coach Harbaugh would say last year, or whether it's a PCL and we might not see him till Cincinnati, or we might see him here on New Year's Day against Pittsburgh. But the notion that they're getting healthier all the way around, and that they ran the ball the way they did, and that the defense, you see Marcus Williams out there running around, Hamilton's out there, looks healthy. I don't know about Peters, and Humphrey had a horrible day on the backside as well. But getting the full complement of all of their players, the way, as I said all last year, the way Eric DaCosta dreamed it up, the way you dream it up in April and May and June and free agency and how you're going to spend your money and who your rookies are and how they're going to get on the field, they are sort of rounding into form in that way of having their best players potentially be ready for Pittsburgh on the 1st, Cincinnati on the 8th, and then assuming they win this week, beat Atlanta, I mean, once they start getting up to 11 wins, they're making the playoffs. Then it's about, are we going to get a home game the first week? And that's going to be about beating Cincinnati on the 8th. But I am getting more bullish on the fact that they can give themselves a representative fight to go beat Cincinnati, Buffalo, Kansas City, which they're going to have to do in some sort of order there in January, that they could have – that at least they're not going to go out there and lose because they don't have their players. And you could say it, Bateman in the passing game, and Luke will talk till he's blue in the face about that, that's the part of beating Buffalo and Kansas City, that you can't throw the ball, that they're not going to throw the ball well. They don't need to if they're running the ball as well as they did at points on Sunday.
Well, I also think that the another big point is they ran the ball effectively with that Lamar Jackson being in there. He makes that running game go with the RPOs and whatnot. So when you can sit there with a third-string quarterback, a rookie, and the other team knows, Steelers knew that the Ravens were not going to pass the ball. Everybody in the stadium knew, everybody watching knew they're going to run the ball, and they still couldn't stop it. That was the scariest element about this Ravens rushing offense, because the Steelers, I mean, they play good defense. They've got some really, really good talented players on the defensive side of the ball.
Dennis Colatzos is here. He will be here on Thursday getting you ready for a Saturday afternoon kickoff. So the game on Sunday, it's the first day that I only watched the Ravens. I spent 9 hours driving up to Pittsburgh through Breezewood and back, you know, on the day. My back's holding up nicely, but I didn't get to watch a lot of football. I watched the end of the night. I watched Herbert do his thing. And he, again, there's another guy. Didn't look healthy a month ago. Looks healthy now. I know I'm wearing the Chargers, Coonsford, powder blues, the Lance Allworths. But when you're talking about teams being a factor in January, I mean, Josh Allen gets hurt. The Bills aren't winning anything, right? I mean, if Lamar Jackson can't post up, the Ravens aren't winning anything. So having your best players be ready, December 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, I start to feel better about the Ravens, especially walking around the locker room, realizing they're getting healthier at a time in the year when they need to. And they won a game. I mean, any win in Pittsburgh. I mean, Justin Tucker's given that pregame speech about you're not really a Raven until you beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh and whatnot. I felt that in the locker room amongst the young guys. I certainly felt it with Patrick Queen, you know, a guy who's hadn't beaten them and has been here a couple of years, that this was, I hate that monkey on the back type of thing, because this was a diminished version of the Steelers, obviously. Look at their record. But there is something about that stripe and this and these AFC North games being what they are, and this gauntlet of 4-5, where the teams that want to wreck your season, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, are in a position to do it.
What about Roquan Smith, Nestor? How does this team, I mean, 3 or 4 games into his career as a Raven, how do they not sign him? How do you not extend Roquan Smith? I mean, the guy is a monster. He's elevated that defense, had a pick again against the Steelers. When he hits ball carries, they tend to go backwards. Steelers held to believe 48 yards rushing, and they were rushing for well over 100 yards the last 4 or 5 games. What a difference maker Roquan Smith has been.
Absolutely. And again, that speaks to the cost of making a deal that, you know, Ozzie never made those kind of deals. Nobody in football made those kind of deals. And to say, well, he's a rental and we gave up some draft picks, and if we get rid, you know, if we lose him, we will recoup that pick in the 24 supplemental. We'll get a sandwich, third, fourth round pick, whatever it's going to be for him. They have a lot of offseason. I mean, it's too early for this for me, Dennis. I mean, I started this with Luke this morning. Already he's like, hey, you know, Marcus Peters, pending free agent, and J.K. Dobbins, and they have guys playing for money. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But they really have guys now playing for a Super Bowl because they're in this smell it period. It's late in the year. Half the guys on this team were either too hurt to be on the field this time last year or too hurt at some point in the last 12 weeks to get on the field. I mean, this has been a tough year, I think, tough 2 years for the infirmary part of, well, we get this guy back, but we lost that guy. We're getting this guy back, and we lost that guy. The only guy to me they can't lose beyond Lamar is Ronnie Stanley, because they're not driving 99 yards out of that hellhole at the Confluence after Renegade if Ronnie Stanley's not on the field. And they didn't have Zeitler Sunday either. So, you know, there are some other pieces, but I start to envision what this will look like January 8th if they have a healthy contingent of players. Williams, Hamilton, more bodies on the back end, the JPPs and the Houstons and the Owas getting, and Bowser getting some sort of pass rush together. So the only one that I've written off is Bateman, right? He's not playing. But I'm, and at various points, I wrote off Gus Edwards. We all wrote off Ronnie Stanley twice, 3 times, 4 times. Like, these people that we have written off or thought, like with Williams, he's not coming back. I thought when Dobbins got scoped in October, if you would have told me he'd be playing winning football on December 11th, if you would have told me that a month ago, I would have said, I'll believe it when I see it, because that's the way I am with all these injuries. But seeing, being in that locker room and seeing the guys that have been on the injury report be there in December, and they're 9-4, and they're winning games they easily could have lost with Calais Campbell's fingers, Mitch Trubisky not being a, Mitch Trubisky. They've had some good fortune here the last couple of weeks. The sun's shining on John Harbaugh a little bit right now.
Well, as you look at the NFL scores every week, Nestor, you realize it's a week-to-week league. Anything can happen. Anything less than your A game exposes you to a loss. And even when you execute, when you run the ball for over 200 yards and you limit your turnovers, and you still are right there on the brink of disaster, right? So Ravens, a 2.5-point underdog to the Browns. Certainly not a scary trip. Defense and running game, those two elements travel very well, Nestor.
2-point dog in Pittsburgh, won the game, right?
I like it. They can run the ball and they can play defense and special teams. All these things go together hand in hand. And I'm disappointed Lamar won't be able to play up against Deshaun Watson. I know he was looking forward to that matchup.
Well, he'll have more chances to do that if he signs a longer-term deal here. I think Deshaun Watson's going to be there no matter what. And, you know, this is a great – because I was going to bring this up with you about Deshaun Watson. You and I spent a lot of breath in the offseason talking about that criminal and the league and teams wanting him and guaranteed money and Jimmy Haslam and what it means to Bisciotti and Lamar's money. You know, addition by subtraction, subtraction by addition, right? Like, they were probably better served with Jacoby Brissett as their quarterback, right? I mean, as opposed to this transplant guy that every guy in that locker room has had to go home to their mother, their wife, their sister, their girlfriend, and they're like, oh, that's your guy. Is that your guy? That's your quarterback. Oh, okay. I think that that's a different thing. And clearly the Browns aren't making the playoffs this year. So all they have there is let's wreck the Ravens this week. And this short rest, it's going to create longer rest for Atlanta this week. But the biggest question in the locker room is Harbaugh was coming in and he said to me, Harbaugh acknowledged me. He looked at me. He said, welcome. Welcome. That's what he said to me. And I said to him, Yeah.
Was it the ghost of Nestor J. Aparicio? Was he there in the flesh, right? That's what they were all asking themselves. How did you get in? How did you get there?
I don't know if they even know. I don't know if Chad Steele called the Steelers PR people. I gathered this from the Pittsburgh media that I talked to. And I gathered this from the Steelers people that I talked to. The organizations don't like each other. You know, like I like beyond Harbaugh v. Tomlin and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And the organizations are not sort of kind of friendly here. And again, I just think I showed up with a press pass and there's the Ravens people will find out how I got in when they listen to the show, because I don't think Chad Steele really knew how I got in. I mean, I don't, obviously he knows the Steelers gave us a pass, but I think they think my relationship with Mike Tomlin's not real. You know what I mean? Like that he and I don't text each other once a month all the time, because we do, you know, and we always have from the time we met each other. I don't think a month has gone by where Mike Tomlin and I have not exchanged a pleasantry of some kind, and don't try to get together. Like when there's a concert in Pittsburgh, sometimes he'll text me and say, hey, we might go to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You want to come up? Like literally these kinds of things have happened over the course of time. He was going to go to the Stone Show with me last year till my back blew out. So I don't know. The relationship is weird, but Tomlin's not using me to get even with Harbaugh. He didn't expect them to throw me out. And when they threw me out, he said, well, you're coming to Pittsburgh. You want to come to the game? I'm like, all right, you know, well, here we are. So that's how I wound up.
Perhaps you can get a press pass to the Browns and to the Bengals. That'd be great.
I know people who know Kevin Stefanski, but I don't have a flight to Cleveland this week.
I got you.
I think the Cincinnati games. I want to go, right? So I'm going to book a flight. And if the Bengals turn me down in their PR, I mean, maybe Marvin still has friends there with the Brown family. I don't know. But, I'll say this, and I'll say this just from the heart. I mean, you've known me a long time. I love you. You love me. You support my station spiritually, financially, with great conversation, all of that stuff. I should be at the games doing my job. And it was never, ever
100%,
more clear to me
100%, 100%.
Than sitting at the game on Sunday feeling unwelcomed by every person whose ass I ever kissed, whose things I ever did, and talking about football. I'm appalled at the people who work in the building, because it would be very easy to whisper out of the side of your mouth to me, hey, dude, what's been done to you is wrong, and I know it's wrong, but – no, Chad Steele must own the building. I mean, just honestly, because for people who've known me 25 years to not even come over and throw an elbow of some sort of kind word, support. I mean, I'm appalled by Eric DaCosta. I am appalled by Pat Moriarty. But Ozzie did say hello to me, so I'm going to let Ozzie off the hook.
There you go. Well, you know, maybe you caught him off guard, right, given the circumstances of where you were. But Ozzy has always been the classy guy, but it doesn't speak well for the organization. You can't censor. You can't eliminate people for whatever reason. You're there to do a job. And look, you're there to ask the tough questions sometimes. It comes with the territory.
They all love me when I was selling tickets for them, right? They all love me when I'm selling enthusiasm and creating fan base, and like they all love me. And now all of a sudden it's like, because Chad doesn't like me, they don't speak to me. That was the really disheartening thing. I thought somebody, and Harbaugh was disingenuous, right? If Harbaugh wants to be genuine, he's got my number. You know, if you want to say hello, I'm like Peter Angel. I'm a very available individual. You want to speak to me? I'm available anytime. I got plenty of time for everyone. That is Colossal Series. Got time for everybody too. Give me a little lowdown on what's going on at your place, because end of year, I had Leonard Raskin on earlier. We're talking about money and big checks coming in or checks going out or purchases that need to be made and like all that. I mean, there might even be a case for me here at NST from a corporate standpoint to get into a vehicle before the end of the year while the getting's good and all that. But you sell a lot of cars this time of year based on that, I would believe, right?
We do. A lot of businesses need the tax break. You can depreciate things. You can write off up to $1 million worth of vehicles if you have a company. So you want to check with your accountant, of course. But it's a wonderful time of the year, Nestor. We're blessed because we have 200 plus new vehicles in stock, more than anybody else in the region, over 200 pre-owned. And of course, the new ones generate wonderful trades for us and our customers. Ford Motor Credit supporting us with 2.9% for 72 months for most models. And it's just a fantastic time of the year to visit Coons Ford of Baltimore.
All right. So listen, I was driving up to Pittsburgh and it was raining in the morning. It was a little hazy. And I got out by Turf Valley and I don't know. I'm just listening to Led Zeppelin. It's 7 a.m. It's raining. I get gassed up at the Rofo up in Frederick. And a Ford Bronco went by me. And it was a really pretty color. I looked at it. And it wasn't like Oiler blue. And it certainly wasn't like Royals blue or Cowboys blue. It was a blue I had never, like, I don't know what to call it. It was sort of like Oilers blue, sort of like Columbia blue, but a little deeper than that. And I thought to myself, I don't know what color we're going to get. My wife's probably going to pick that one. But I thought, if I walked out to Dennis's lot and saw that blue, that's the one I would want, I think. Do you know the name? Does it have some Cayman blue? Does it have some name like that?
No, I'm thinking it's called Area 51.
What?
Yeah, they have some unique, if that's
Hold
the
on.
One. They
that's
have
it.
Some
that's it. I just Googled it. This is the Area 51. That's
Area
it.
Area 51. So, you know, for those UFO believers and non-believers, it's a really cool color. It's one of my favorites.
Do you have that one?
I have that one in stock.
Really?
I do.
All right. All right. Well, she wants a Bronco Sport. I mean, she wants four-wheel drive before the first snowstorm. So we're going to talk about it.
I'll save you lots of money. I'll cut you a
deal. Well, I'm glad I talked to you about it because, like, yeah. I saw the color. Now all I got to do is sell my wife on it. She
there
might want the fuchsia one or something. I don't know what she
whatever,
wants.
Whatever she wants. Whatever Jen wants, Jen gets.
Let me tell you this, and this is just – let's have a little family talk here since, you know, you have wives, relationships. You know what this is like. The other day, we redid our place when we moved in January, and we got a new kitchen, the whole deal. And we – built relatively cheap kitchen. We just bought what we bought. When it came time to get the stone and the granite, we went out and we're like, how much? I don't need the $7,000. Let's go with the $2,200, you know, whatever, right? So we go out and pick this stuff out, and we agreed on, you know, colors and stuff. And she said to me, this new top we have, it hides dirt. And I'm like, yeah, isn't it great? She's like, no, it makes a mess. You can't see the dirt. You can't see the mess. So now I'm thinking, like, this Area 51 blue, the only thing she's going to say is, does it show the dirt?
It's more forgiving than if you had a white car or black car. We'll tell you that much. That's a fact.
All right. Well, we're going to get out and see Dennis. He's over at Coons, Baltimore Ford Security Boulevard. They, of course, sponsor our WNST tech service. So, Dennis, I stopped in Breezewood. I let Luke out because Luke and I meet in Breezewood because he comes over from Shrewsbury. So, and we both decided we had to run in and pee because it was like that. We're driving down the mountain. I had a coffee. I still was awake at 2 a.m. writing column this. So I go into the men's room there, and it's typical Breezewood, right? Everybody stops in Breezewood to go to the bathroom, everybody, because it's what you do. And it's a lot of Ravens jerseys, way more Ravens than Steelers on the way home. So it's, I don't know, it was probably 8 o'clock at the time we got to Breezewood. And I go into the bathroom, do my business. I'm rinsing my hands. And a guy in a Ravens shirt says, Nasty Nestor, I got to talk to you. And I'm like, here I am, dude. I'm rinsing my hands. I say, how are you, man? I said, I'm a little hurry. Get out of here. But how are you? He's like, I'm great. He's like, I got to tell you, I'm on the WNST tech service. And it's the greatest thing you do. And Luke was washing his hands at the other basin. And Luke walked out and didn't even hear this guy compliment Luke. So I said, Oh my God, you're complimenting. Don't compliment me. Compliment Luke. Luke just left the bathroom. He's outside. So I made him go outside and chase Luke down, buying a coffee and a donut, and said, Luke, you got fans. So there you have it. Coons Baltimore
There you
Four
go.
sponsored our
There you go.
WNST tech servers. So I got a little bit of love even in Breezewood on the way home. The last time I was in Breezewood, we had a bus trip. This is 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. And I swear to God, I had someone come up to me. I had a ball cap on. And he was convinced I was John Harbaugh. I don't know. At some period of time, I must have looked like John before the ponytail or something, because I did get a little bit of that. Are you John's brother? I've heard that before. And this guy took a picture with me and was convinced I was John. He wasn't even drunk.
Okay.
And I'm like, and my wife's like, don't tell. My wife started calling me John in line.
Hopefully bought you a beer. I don't know.
No, we were in Breezewood. It was more like coffee or a Dairy Queen or something like that.
Care coffee.
Dennis, you are here on Thursday. I know you'll have Luke and some great guests as well. We'll be listening 3 to 5. Do you believe? Do you think they can win a Super Bowl? I want to ask people that, because that's really the question.
You know
the
what?
Question is, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to play game like they are. Can they win? Do you believe in them?
Well, Lamar was healthy. They had the 6 best chances to winning. And I think if he comes back and Ronnie Stanley's upright and they have no more significant injuries, then yeah, I think they have a puncher's chance to win a Super Bowl.
Well, you want to
But
believe, right? When you're 9-4.
They have to play perfect games, right? But then again, so did the 2000 squad, so did the 2012 squad. So they're getting healthy at the right time of the year. Lamar, is Lamar the 2019 MVP? They can certainly take anybody down.
I think one of the things Luke and I talked about 5 weeks ago, when the schedule softened up at this point, right?
Yeah.
Which is they can't win any points here. I mean, they won another ugly game, barely, with a third-string quarterback. Fine. They'll probably beat Cleveland this week. Fine. Atlanta, they stink. So now they're 11-4, and you're still like, are they the Vikings? Are they just,
yeah.
You know, I mean, the Vikings lost to the Lions. Or like the Dolphins, who lost two in a row now. You're like, yeah, they're a good team, but they're not beating Patrick Mahomes doing all this, and that's – I'm trying to get across the river of denial here and say – all right. And in the locker room, I felt it a little bit in Pittsburgh on Sunday, because I looked and saw Ronnie Stanley upright, J.K. Dobbins. I looked around and Roquan Smith, guys that weren't even in the locker room 5 weeks ago. I see that they have potential to be a better team, and they haven't. And all these guys say this: our defense hasn't played to its potential yet. Okay, maybe they do round in the form. And Luke is always the first one to say, hey, this time 10 years ago, they were firing Cam Cameron and Flacco was planking, and 8 weeks later, we're having a parade here. So things are possible.
You never know.
I believe. Do you believe? Dennis Colatzos is here. He'll be believer 3 to 5 on Thursday, doing the Sunday Sports Voice and driving you home here at AM 1570. Area 51 is the color. I don't
That's
know why
one.
I asked that question, but now I know the answer.
That's
I'm Nestor.
Answer.
We are WNST AM 1570, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.